Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, Mandarin Chinese, and other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Last time we were together here on Hope for Today, we were studying Luke chapter 12 and verses 22 to 34 under the title, Seeking the Kingdom of God. As we studied, we learned this text presents several rewards that come to those who are truly seeking the kingdom of God. The first reward of seeking the kingdom of God is it reduces anxiety. Jesus spoke about how carefully God cares for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. And then he said how much more God cares for us as the followers of Jesus. When you and I understand the depth of God's care for us, then we realize that we have no need to worry. And when worry is not a part of our lives, it reduces our anxiety. And it lets us focus more clearly on seeking God's kingdom. Now, in a few moments, we'll return to this first reward of seeking the kingdom of God. But first, let me read the scripture text, Luke chapter 12 and verses 22 to 34. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of those things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In verses 22 to 28 of our text, Jesus speaks primarily about our need for food and clothing. His first statement in verse 23 sets the tone for what follows. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. In verse 24, Jesus continues this theme by asking, "Which of you, by anxious worry, can add even an hour to your length of life?" Now I know, the King James Version says can add to his stature or his height one cubit. That's what I read for you earlier. But the Greek word that's used here can refer to either height or length of time. And Jesus is talking about food and clothing. They relate to sustaining or prolonging life. So I believe verse 26 helps us clarify the meaning. There, Jesus asked this question. If you are not able to do what is least, or very small, why do you worry about bigger things? Now, is adding 18 inches to your height a very small thing? Hardly. That would be a major accomplishment. But how about adding an hour to a lifetime of 70 years? That's not such a big deal, right? So here again, the Word of God is its own best commentary. The context helps us understand the meaning. The second command Jesus gives that will help to reduce anxiety is, consider the wildflowers of the field. No one plants them, they don't work, and they don't weave cloth. But even Solomon, in all of his extravagant royal finery, was not dressed in the same kind of beauty that the flowers are. Seeking God's kingdom reduces the level of anxiety in our lives about material needs. It gives us a greater ability to appreciate the beauty God has placed all around us. Not only that, but think about the lifespan of a wildflower. Even though it lasts a very short time in comparison to a human life, yet God creates it with great care and with beauty. Will He not much more care for you and me as His children? And the grass of the field grows at God's command without cultivation. It exists today. Tomorrow it's cut down and used for fuel in the oven. If God invests time and energy in something as simple as the grass of the field, how much more will He care for you and me? Oh, how weak and small our faith often is. In light of God's care for the lower orders of His creation, the command of verse 23 takes on greater clarity. Do not be anxious or worried about your life, what you will eat, nor for your body, what you will wear. I know we live in a world filled with uncertainty. Governments and economies teeter on the brink of collapse. Violence abounds and injustice increases. Yet you and I need not fear. God has promised to supply our needs as we seek His kingdom. And when we follow His commands, the reward is reduced anxiety and increased faith. The second reward for those seeking the kingdom of God is, it reorients activity. In verses 29 to 32, the commands of Jesus reveal this second reward. Notice again, He begins with an imperative. And you do not seek or stop seeking what you are to eat and what you are to drink. Jesus' use of the word you is emphatic. You yourself stop seeking. From the context, we understand that the seeking Jesus is talking about is more than just looking for something. The word contains the idea of striving to secure or obtain something. He further says that we are not to be anxious for our daily necessities. We must not attempt to buoy up our minds with a false hope. And by false hope, I mean the idea that if I can just earn a little bit more, if I can just store up a little bit more, then I'll be secure. That's what the rich farmer thought, and you know how that worked out for him. According to verse 30, anxiety for the daily necessities is what preoccupies the peoples of the world. Albert Barnes says, "Those destitute of the true doctrines of religion and unacquainted with proper dependence on divine providence make it their chief anxiety to seek food and clothing." You know, many people see this life as the sum of their human existence, and we understand why they would strive for these things. But for you and me who know what true life is, why do we struggle so much? Especially when we have so many promises from God to supply our needs. Jesus shows us clearly that seeking the kingdom of God will reorient our activity. We turn from striving after the supply of our daily needs, and we turn to striving for His kingdom. Now, I want you to think with me about this idea of reorientation. The people of the world have their minds oriented to the present and to the near future, that is, to their lifetime. Because their focus is on gaining maximum pleasure in life, they make choices, just like the rich farmer did. You probably know friends or neighbors or even family who have made generous provisions for this life but have failed to make any provision for eternity. And that's because their lives are oriented or directed by the desires of their human existence. So when a person becomes a disciple of Jesus, his mind, will, and emotions need to be reoriented to the change that has taken place in his spirit. The focus of life changes from seeking the world's material goods to seeking the spiritual realities of the kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus is speaking to the 12 when he says, "Stop worrying about what you're going to eat and drink." He was challenging them to reorient their lives to a new paradigm. And that same challenge faces you and me today. The question that immediately comes to my mind is, how do we do this? How do we become reoriented to the reality of the kingdom of God? Well, think about a compass, a simple instrument that's used to determine direction. A compass is basically a magnetized needle that reacts to the magnetic field that surrounds the earth. But the earth's magnetic field is fairly weak. If you inadvertently place a stronger magnet near the compass will give you a false directional reading. The compass will always reorient itself to the stronger magnetic field. When God created you and me in His likeness and image, we were born with an orientation toward Him. But because we are also born with a sin nature, there is a competing orientation. As children grow and develop, the orientation toward sin and self becomes stronger. And if it's left unchecked, it becomes predominant. If a person is not exposed to the truth of the gospel, or if they reject it, they continue following the orientation toward self. Their needs, their wants, their desires become the controlling force in their lives. Their internal compass deceives them because the magnetic pull of self is stronger than the orientation toward God. They think they're headed in the right direction, but in reality, they're headed for destruction. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Seeking the Kingdom of God. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Seeking the Kingdom of God. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Seeking the Kingdom of God, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue this study, Seeking the Kingdom of God. I hope you can join me. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.